the triple chocolate meltdown dessert. When I was thinking of today's gospel reading of Jesus feeding the 5,000, this is what came to mind, the triple chocolate meltdown. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, the triple chocolate meltdown is a dessert at Applebee's restaurant, and it's so chocolatey that it would make the chocolatier Willy Wonka very proud. I first became acquainted with this fudge-filled chocolate cake about 3 years ago, when my family and I took an Applebee's gift card my parents gave us and went out to eat. Soon after we were sat at our table, the waitress informed us that the customer before us had paid for a free dessert for us. My family and I found the most delicious item on the dessert menu and proceeded to devour the triple chocolate meltdown. Then, when we had had our fill of food paid for by someone else, we decided to pay it forward, buying dessert for the next customer. Now let's think back to the feeding of the 5,000. And how it all started with Jesus asking for help with feeding the 5,000. And a boy responding by offering to share his 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread with Jesus and the others. This small, generous act of a boy who put the needs of others first started a chain reaction that resulted in 5,000 disciples being fed. When the boy gave the gift of food, Jesus quite naturally received it and gave thanks. But then what happened next was quite miraculous. When Jesus started sharing the food with others, he made it multiply. Even now, we occasionally hear stories in the news of hundreds of people in a row being fed at a restaurant without having to pay, all because one generous person decided to put the needs of someone else first by offering to provide food to that other person. When we view these stories with supernatural eyes, we just might catch a glimpse of Jesus still at work today, making the food offering of one person multiply to feed the many. Some people may call these stories of paying it forward. Some may call them stories of putting the other needs first. But St. Thomas Aquinas would have called these stories of love. My favorite definition of the word love comes from St. Thomas Aquinas. He said, to love is to will the good of the other. Now, while it's not the reason we put the needs of others first, it turns out that putting the needs of others first is actually good for us. A University of Michigan study showed that those who put the needs of others first by giving their time and talent serving the needs of others actually live longer than those who spend their time in self-centered pursuits. Research has also shown that those who put the needs of others first have a better quality of life and well-being, having lower rates of depression, better physical fitness, and more social connections. Now, if we're honest, when we hear about Jesus and some saintly people putting the needs of others first, there are probably some of us sitting here thinking, yeah, putting the needs of others is great for them, but they didn't have to deal with self-centered people like I have to. It's important for us to remember that in the same chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000, he also refers to Judas as a devil because of his self-centered ways. Later in this gospel, we hear about the communal money bag intended to be used to pay for the food needs and other basic needs of the disciples. Guess who was the chief financial officer in charge of this money bag? Anyone know? Judas, the thief, that's right. I wonder if there would have been enough money in the communal money bag to pay for food for the 5,000 if it had not been for Judas putting his own needs first and reaching in and stealing from the communal money bag. Nevertheless, we see that by Judas continuing down this path of putting his own needs first, it resulted in him reaching the conclusion of this dead-end road in a miserable state. If we let it happen to us, one self-centered person can easily turn into a domino effect of more people switching from an approach of putting the needs of others first to instead putting their own needs first. When this approach of putting their own needs first happens on a massive scale, the needs of so many people aren't being met that the government might step in to try to take care of the needs of all the people whose needs aren't being met. Now, while this is certainly well-intentioned, let's not lose sight of the fact that Jesus intended a more fulfilling approach with his feeding of the 5,000. After all, when the 5,000 were fed, those 5,000 people were not encountering Caesar or a government official. Instead, these 5,000 people had an encounter with Jesus and his disciples. You see, food is meant to bring us closer to God and one another. We've heard the saying, you are what you eat. Well, when we eat the body of Christ, our very being is changed, so we are more fully members of the body of Christ. We are unified with Christ and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When our eyes are open to the spiritual truth that putting the needs of others first results in fulfillment for us, it becomes easier for us to experience a little taste of heaven here on earth and prepare ourselves for the fulfillment that awaits us for all eternity in God's heavenly kingdom. So let us receive the gift of the bread of life that Jesus offers us, give thanks, and share the food we have been given with our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that with Jesus' help, it can be multiplied to feed the many. This week, we can share the food we have been given with others by taking the Eucharist or a meal to someone we know who's sick, or by giving food we have in our car to the person on the street asking for help, or by paying for the food of the person that comes after us at a restaurant, or by inviting our new pastor over for dinner. He didn't pay me to say that, by the way. Yeah. Whichever way we choose to put the needs of others first this week, may it help us to come to see that the miraculous plan Jesus has for each of us is way more fulfilling than the triple chocolate meltdown dessert.